Thank you, David. My wife says she keeps me humble by telling me how worthless I am. I want to, it's kind of a Mother's Day sermon, but I want to start with a scripture, and it's in Ezekiel, and it's the 14th chapter, and it's the 20th verse. And it says this, and it's just one scripture here, and it says, "Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." Now, most of you guys grew up in church. Your parents or your grandparents took you to church, and especially your mothers taught you about God. I didn't have that. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, and by the way, it's a speech impediment because I've had it for so long, so it's not really an accent. But I grew up in the middle of nowhere, and God was the last thing on my mind. Didn't go to church or anything like that. And so it's a miracle in itself that I found God. Even in going back home, I found that I went to my cousin's husband, who was a really, really good friend of mine, his funeral while we were back there, and there was no mention of God, there was no mention of Christ, there was nothing in that funeral as far as that goes. And so, in some ways, I was kind of disappointed, but I know that God can do anything. And he changed my life in so many ways. And, you know, some of the things that happened to you guys, and I have a great love and a great passion for my God, and I'm not saying that you come the way that I came, because most people that come the way that I came never come. Because, you know, we grow up in a different world. But I want you to go to 1 Samuel, first chapter. And it says this, and I'm going to read the whole thing, so it's going to be a little bit long of a read, but I'll stop every now and again to try and make a point. "Now there was a certain man, Ramathim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zephah, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Phinehas. And Phinehas had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord." Can you imagine going to church once a year? I mean, how strong would your faith be? And obviously, this man had quite a bit of faith. "Went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb." Now that's interesting. The Lord had done that he had shut that womb up. There are some things about our lives that God does to us that we might understand that he has a better way, that he wants us to want something more important, a relationship with our God, a desire that through not being able to do something, we would ask for that it would be more important than anything else. The sixth verse. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the posts of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but wilt give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You know, I know of certain people in this journey of mine that desired something. A good friend of mine, when I first started on this journey, and she told me, she said, the Lord asked her one day, says, what would you desire? And she said, I'd like to have a house. And he said to her, there's one condition, only one condition. And she said, oh, what is that, Lord? And he said, you have to be willing to give it up. I always remembered that, because the things of this life that we want so bad, God sometimes requires those things, whether it's a husband or a wife or a child or whatever. There is nothing that is not, if you truly love the Lord, that you're not willing to give up. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaiden find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramoth. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Can you imagine that? You know, you take away a child from, or a grandchild from, a grandmother or a mom, you got a fight on your hands. She was willing because she wanted that so bad. That's what mums do, isn't it? And so, second chapter. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in the salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." You know, most of you guys that grew up in church, you know, you had a mum like that, that had a love for their God. But did you really understand what it was to sacrifice, to have that kind of love for your God? You see, like I say, I didn't have that. Where I grew up, you know, we'd go hunting and fishing. Sunday was just another day. I want you to go to 2 Kings, 4th chapter. You know how, and actually I'm going to, I want to go to the second chapter actually, or the thing is, and I, you know, I love this book because Elisha had a love for God in such a way that he recognized something in Elijah. The spiritual gifts, and understood how important and how great they really were. I don't know whether he was raised in the church or whatever, but he seen something in Elijah. And so I'm going to start in that second chapter in the 9th verse. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." I'm going to stop right there for a second. I've seen in some of those old ministers a great love and a great passion for their God, a great desire to serve him, to have that spirit to be with them. And I've seen great miracles done because of that love, because of that passion. And I, like Elisha, I wanted that. I desired that for myself. And so having an understanding and a knowledge of God, I desired to change my life. And it was a monumental change. Tenth verse, and he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." Well, we've preached on it many times, but we know that he received that gift. And oh, what a gift. The power of God. But this is another story in this same book, and it's the 4th chapter. And I'm going to start in the 8th verse, and it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in hither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, 'Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither.' And it fell on a day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said unto Gehazi, his servant, 'Call this Shunammite.' And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Now say unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? And obviously, this was a lot that was done for him. We wouldn't think it was that much, but maybe this was a lot for him. Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Imagine being able to ask for those things. You know, we honor our parents, and my dad, I can tell you, I had never seen my dad ever tell a lie to anyone in the time that I grew up. But yet my dad didn't really go to church. There was things that happened in his life that changed his life, but he never discouraged us from those things. And you know, I'd kind of look at the gospel a lot differently than a lot of people, and the reason is because I didn't have the traditions. I didn't have the grandma or grandpa taking you to church and telling you, you know, son, you have to believe like this. Those things become doctrines. Some ways they're a detriment to us. It's good to have an understanding, but not to drive our stakes in so far that we believe in just traditions. And so, in a lot of ways, I kind of look at things a lot differently than most because people would say to me, well, why do we do this way? And they would say, well, we've always done it that way. Traditions. And I'd say, well, show me the scriptures. You know, and it's a world apart sometimes. But having an understanding of who and what God is very important. And how you get there is very important also. So I want to go to Luke. And I just want to try and make a point here. And it's the second chapter of Luke. I think you all know where I'm going. Thirty-sixth verse of the second chapter of Luke. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phinehas, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. It's really interesting, isn't it? That she was a prophetess. And I use that down in the visitor center every now and again because they ask, well, you guys don't have a prophet. And I say, well, we believe that there is a gift more than a priesthood appendage. And I said, this woman, she served night and day in the temple. She had great passion, and the Lord had given her a great gift because she had separated herself. She had set her heart on the things of God more than anything else. Do we do that? Have we taught our children that? You know, I feel like such a failure sometimes because my children don't have that passion for God, or don't seem to. Now I hope and I pray for each and every one of you that are parents, that your children have that desire, that they have a love for God that is like this, that is consuming. I want to go to the Book of Mormon. I'm going to run out of time. I want to go to Alma, the 26th chapter. And I'm going to start in the 96th verse. And actually, I'm going to go backwards in this. Because I want you to understand something. This 96th verse, and it says, "Yea, and even according to their faith it was done unto them, and I did remember the words which they said unto me that their mothers had taught them." These guys were in great battles, and yet they had an understanding of who God was, because their mothers had taught them. 101st verse, and it says, "Nevertheless, according to the goodness of God, and to our great astonishment, and also to the joy of our whole army, there was not one soul of them who did perish. Yea, and neither was there one soul among them who had not received many wounds. And now their preservation was astonishing to our whole army, yea, that they should be spared while there was a thousand of our brethren who were slain. And we do justly ascribe it to the miraculous power of God because of their exceeding faith and that which they had been taught to believe, that there was a just God, and whosoever did not doubt that they should be preserved by his marvelous power. Now this was the faith of these of whom I have spoken. They are young, and their minds are firm, and they do put their trust in God continually." Amazing. Simply amazing. Didn't say that God would take them out of that kind of situation. It said that he used them as an instrument. Are we an instrument in his hands? You go to the 56th verse there. And this was the battle before. "Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt that our mothers knew." And then after this battle, 66 verse, "But behold, to my great joy, there had not one soul of them fallen to the earth. Yea, and they had fought as if with the strength of God. Yea, never were men known to have fought with such miraculous strength, and with such mighty power did they fall upon the Lamanites that they did frighten them. And for this cause did the Lamanites deliver themselves up as prisoners of war." What kind of faith do you have? What kind of understanding do you have about God? You know, go back to the 12th chapter, or let's go there. 12th chapter of Alma, 112th verse, and it's on page 371. Ammon said unto him, I am a man, and a man in the beginning was created after the image of God, and I am called by his Holy Spirit to teach these things unto this people, that they may be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desires, which are in God. It was all about God. You got to understand something about Ammon here. This guy was a king's son. Someone that was nobility and yet had given himself to be a servant. It's quite a change, isn't it? And yet these men had started out rebelling against God, as I did. Something had to change, didn't it? God uses us in many different ways. And so, this testimony that he had about his God, the king wanted to know this. Can you imagine what they seen? What they heard? That conversation that went on? Start in same chapter, the 128th verse. And it came to pass that Ammon did as he was commanded and went in unto the queen and desired to know what she would that he should do. And she said unto him, the servant of my husband hath made it known unto me that thou art a prophet of a holy God, and that thou hast power to do many mighty works in his name. Therefore, if this is the case, I would that ye should go in and see my husband, for he has been laid upon his bed for the space of 2 days and 2 nights. And some say that he is not dead, but others say that he is dead and that he stinketh, and that he ought to be placed in a sepulchre. But as for myself, to me he doth not stink. Now this was what Ammon desired, for he knew that the king Lamoni was under the power of God. Can you imagine that? He knew that the dark veil of unbelief being cast away from his mind, and the light which did light up his mind, which was the light of the glory of God, which was a marvelous light of his goodness. Yea, this light had infused such joy into his soul, the cloud of darkness having been dispelled, and that the light of everlasting light was lit up in his soul. Yea, he knew that this had overcome his natural frame, and he was carried away in God. Therefore, what the queen desired of him was his only desire. Therefore, he went in to see the king according as the queen had desired of him, and he saw the king, and he knew he was not dead. Can you imagine what the king was seeing? You know, I seen and in some of those old ministers, I've seen a great love and a great passion for God. No different than Anna, no different than... And you know, and I tell you, I would go to a prayer service or... And it's congregational. I would go to a prayer service or a reunion and someone would get up and say something. They would say, someone is praying for this and this is the answer. Someone came prepared to ask God, is there someone you want me to say something to? Is there some testimony that I'm supposed to give? When we come to a service, do we ask those questions? And I came seeking answers. And I knew that that could not be corrupted because I told no one. Those are the things that made me understand that there was a God and that He dealt with us. Everyone should have that prayer on their heart. There is a knowledge and an understanding of God that I think that sometimes we just take for granted. It's just a benevolent uncle, like the sermon this morning. You know, I must be doing all right. God is blessing me. Right? It's when those blessings stop is the only time that we really question where we are. These guys had a different understanding, and it changed their life like it changed mine. Verse 176. And they did all declare unto the people the selfsame thing, that their hearts had been changed, that they had no more desire to do evil. What is it that you desire? Is it the things of the world? You know, I keep myself very busy. I mean, the last 6 weeks I've been laid up with this new knee. And it's hard to sit there and put ice on this knee and because there's so many things that I want to do. And I find myself that I think about things, about the journey that I've been on and how it's changed my life in so many ways. And it keeps changing and it always will. But that desire to know and to have that God, you know, it doesn't mean that I don't have great trials in my life because they tell me a lot about who I am. Unlike many of you, your mothers taught you many things and brought you this far. Do you have that passion? Do you have that fire within you that you desire to know everything about your God? That love for Him. You know, when it says to love thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength, you know, how do we do on that one? I sometimes find, you know, when we first met our wives or our husbands, you know, we had that kind of love for them that we wanted to know everything about them. Wanted to know every intimate detail about them. Wanted to just couldn't spend enough time with them. Is that how we love our God? It better be. You know, it's been an amazing journey, one that I could have never imagined or foreseen or anything like that. But I look back and I see that prayers unanswered were answered in a lot of different ways, and yet I didn't know that until, you know, 45 years later or whatever else, you know. And so you look at your life, you know, and God reminds us of the first prayers the things that we ask for. They may seem simple. And, you know, a friend of mine said to me, she says, and this lady was really instrumental in me finding the gospel. And she said to me, she says, you know, to hear some of those first prayers was very special. She said, because they were truly from the heart. And so I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for your time. I do appreciate that time. And I hope that you have received something out of this message. And I thank you very much. God bless.